Welcome back to CineSpeak. Today, I have a special guest, my friend Grant Ramsey. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good. What are we going to be doing today, sir?
We'll be talking about the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
So you've recommended this to me how many times now?
Honestly? Well, you know, I've been a movie buff for a while, but as far as a horror buff, you know, like, I'm like, you know, that's probably my prime.
No, yeah, for sure.
And, like, that's been, like, almost a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So, probably about a year I've been saying, hey, because, you know, it's really independent, and I know you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you liked it a lot more than I thought. You liked it more than me. Like, you liked it a lot more than me.
Yeah. How many, I don't know if you've rated it on Letterboxd yet, but how many stars would you give it?
Oh.
If you were to review it on there?
Probably 3.5.
Solid. I give it 5 for those of you listening.
This is your first time watching any Texas film, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I watched the Texas Chainsaw 3D, I think.
Yeah, which, and that acts as a direct sequel to this.
Yeah. And I thought I wasn't as into film as I was, or as I am now back then. I thought it was all right, though.
Hey, how do you say the director's name?
Hold on. Toby?
See, Toby I was Hooper. Talking to someone once, and they called him Tobe.
Oh, my God.
Tobe Hooper, because it's spelled T-O-B-E.
No,
I was looking in the box to make sure it actually was. Because yeah. I remember I legitimately talked to someone who kept calling him Tobe.
Like, Tobe.
Like, yeah.
What a fucking name. What an iconic legend. Name. Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of people. I think it's just Toby.
Yeah, no, it is Tobe Hooper.
Thank God. That poor man. How many times has he been called Tobe in his life?
Probably only by this one asshole I talked to. Like, the one guy I talked to, you know. Like, he went up to him during a convention, probably. He's like, hey, Tobe, you want to sign this for me?
That's terrible. That's, like, the worst case scenario.
Oh, man. I always hate seeing cringe autograph signings at conventions.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Where should we go from here? There's a lot of awkward silences on this podcast too, so don't worry.
We're awkward people.
Yeah. No, it's become a staple to this podcast.
God, one day you should just release the Final Destination one we did.
Oh, God.
It's like, what, 3 hours of...
It was just, long.
And like, 1 hour is just silence, probably.
The director's cut of that podcast.
Yeah, we kept saying points where that, you know, you could cut.
Yeah.
If you could cut right now, I'd say you'd do the camera noise, the choo. Like, yeah. I can't
that, when I've started watching it, that, like, intro, like, is it actually based on true events or not?
Okay, so it is based on a couple different serial killers, which the, I had to... Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's Ed Gein that is the biggest inspiration, not only for Leatherface, but for Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Hmm.
And what they did was use body parts to collect shit. But no, Leatherface and his family, which his family's changed names over the films.
Hmm.
So it's Leatherface's name. It's been Jedediah, it's been Thomas,
Where did the Leatherface name come from, though? Because
referred to a name, I think, in number 2. Then he was referred to a different name in number 3.
But they don't mention that name in the first movie, do they?
No, it's not. I think it's called Bubba.
Oh, yeah.
Bubba's,
yeah.
Like, the only name I think that's... I mean, I think he might be called Leatherface in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Nobody actually says it.
And he's been the only staple that's been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess kind of makes sense, because, you know, he's the one with the chainsaw.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, if you watch, like, the movie Leatherface, they actually use both of his names. And it's kind of clever how they do it. It's a bad movie. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's just very unnecessary. It's one of those movies where it's like, they try to twist you. Right? But you see the twist coming.
Mm.
Because, like, you don't know who Leatherface is. And they have one kid who's bigger, who looks like Leatherface, but he doesn't talk much. And you're like, obviously it's the kid that they keep pointing the camera at. It's this young skinny looking dude, and it's like, you know, they try to twist it.
Yeah, like, is that one connected to like the remake and stuff?
Yeah, or? Leatherface. So there's so many continuities. So
let's keep it short though, because we have to talk about the original.
All right, I am gonna run through. Oh, real quick, I'll just run through the continuities. So there's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1. Then there's number 2, which is kind of a parody, but it does act as a sequel to number 1. And then there's number 3, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface. That's what it's called. And that one, it's honestly like a soft reboot. Like, the only thing that connects that one to any of the other films is he has the leg brace. Mm. And in number 2, he gets his leg cut. I think, doesn't he get his leg cut also in number 1?
Yeah, he does, towards the end.
Yeah. But it, so that's the only piece that connects them. Other than that, it's its own thing. Then they made number 4.
Which, is that the Next Generation?
Yeah, that one. that one was like a bad parody.
The one with Matthew McConaughey?
And like, it was just a random sequel that really didn't have continuity. Mm. Then we got the remakes. The first remake, and then the remake got a prequel. Mm. And
of course.
You know, those were, as far as horror remakes go, not too bad.
Yeah.
And then they made Texas Chainsaw 3D. There's no massacre in it. Mm. And that one acts as a direct sequel to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then they made Leatherface, which acts as a prequel to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And it uses elements and characters from 3D. So, to me, if you want a collection of them with an ongoing story, watch Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then Texas Chainsaw 3D. And you'll get a good continuity story. Mm. But I don't think this film calls for a sequel.
No, I don't think so either.
Because we were talking, and I mentioned how the series is considered a slasher series, but I do not by any means consider Texas Chainsaw Massacre a slasher.
Well, I don't even know what I would consider it. It's just fucking...
So I call it psychological horror.
Yeah. Well, it's like, at first it felt like a slasher, but then as the movie goes on, like, it goes into some really, like, disturbing territory, like, some really psychological territory, especially with, like, the family.
And a lot of people think, like, this is a vegetarian's favorite movie, which you wouldn't think it is.
Yeah.
But I almost think it is propaganda for vegetarians. Because, like, there's a scene where they're driving by the slaughterhouse, and Franklin, the guy in the wheelchair, is talking about how they kill the cows, and, like, they keep flashing the actual cows. And then, you know, that happens to the characters, you know. Mm-hmm. The hammer. They talk about hitting a cow over the head with a hammer. The first guy who dies does that. Then they talk about how they don't die always from the first hit. So they twitch. That's how, the guy did that twitch.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, yeah. Like, vegetarians and vegans. Like, I'm not poking fun at vegetarians and vegans. Because, like, they'll jump down my ass.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a big community of vegetarians and vegans who love Texas Chainsaw Massacre because they think it's, you know, don't eat meat because this is what would happen if you were in the cow's shoes. You know, the characters are cattle to slaughter. You really, you didn't notice that?
No. I was too immersed in the story.
Which,
one thing I do want to say, though, is, like, from the very beginning of the movie, like, the atmosphere was, like, already there.
I love the opening, you know, even though it's not a real story, I love the opening, you know, rising credits.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then you get the radio talk about the grave diggings. And then you get the iconic, you know, camera sound, and you get images of something. You don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't know.
I know, like, I was like, I kind of like...
I've heard theories that it's been a close-up on a dead body or a close-up on Leatherface.
I mean, it's pretty much blink and you miss it because it flashes so quick.
Like, and then, like, it does that zoom out on the red font stuff.
I don't know. Yeah.
And, like, another thing is you don't know who does the grave robbing either. Like, it's never said that the Sawyers, are they called the Sawyers in this one? That might be the remake.
I don't know.
You talk while I look that up. Yeah, the Sawyers.
Okay.
Well, again, Leatherface's name changes, and the remake, they're not called the Sawyers. I'm gonna look that up real quick.
Are they called the Sawyers in Texas Chainsaw 3D?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At least that continuity was still there.
And there's another family introduced. I forget what they're called, but... 2003. Yeah, that was early in the Hoyts.
Hoyts.
Yeah.
Sawyer's a better
name.
That's
like how people from Brooklyn say it hurts. Or Hoyts.
Oh my god. It Hoyts. Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. I'm excited for The Irishman. Anyway. So I like how the movie set in real, it felt really real, I guess.
It did. Like, there wasn't that much music either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like, there was, you know, it was just very raw. It was raw material.
The director...
It felt almost home, you know, like home video. Which, yeah. Honestly, the budget they had, it practically was.
What was the budget?
So, I'm...
Probably like dirt cheap.
We're though. Talking like this... Yeah.
Maybe nothing. Probably like $1,000.
To give you an idea, I know Kevin Smith had more money on Clerks.
Jeez. Damn. So was this just like an independent movie then?
Oh yeah, completely independent.
That's crazy.
And yeah, some of your listeners might correct me. Yeah, I might say something wrong in this interview. Guys, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes.
I mean...
At least I'm not confusing, you know, Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees. People do that. That annoys me.
That's sad.
When people see, like, a hockey... Yeah, like, I saw an interview with Jamie Lee Curtis, and, like, the interview is, like... So you still get people asking you to sign hockey masks all the time? And she's like, wrong movie, baby.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, my God,
that's
dude.
So embarrassing. Oof.
So...
It's been a while since I watched the movie, so I'm trying to think of things.
I watched it last night. So, okay, let's talk about what stood out from this film to others. Because, like, this movie has been a template for other movies.
Yeah.
So, but yet, did it feel like original to you?
Yeah.
Or what made it stand out? Because you really liked it. It had to have that standout factor.
I guess just the realism and, like, the grittiness of the 70s combined with such a, like, dark story. Because at first, I'm like... I thought it was really good at first. Because it was... I considered it just, like, a slasher at first. And I could see how other slasher movies probably took from it. But, like, once... like, the final maybe half hour happens, like, it goes in, like, it went in a completely different direction than I was expecting. Like, the whole thing with, like, the family, like, I didn't...
Oh, you didn't know it was, like...
I didn't know, like, the
guy
at the
beginning. You had no idea the family was, like, you were only expecting Leatherface.
Yeah, so,
you thought it was a Leatherface movie.
Yeah, like, the guy at the beginning in the van where he cuts his hand and everything.
Yeah, the hitchhiker.
I thought that was just some random guy. I didn't think we were going to see him again.
Yep.
But obviously, he comes back.
He is the number two as a dead body. His brother in number two... what the hell is his brother's name? I forget, but his brother's the number two. Chop Top, maybe? Something like that.
Yeah, I think
but so. He's got, like... He's got the hitchhiker as a dead body. I think they're called call him Chubbins or some dumb shit.
It amazes me that the same director made that though.
He didn't. He didn't want to make the same movie.
That's fair. I understand that.
It's not an honest to God sequel, but I respect the hell that he went a different route instead of copying himself.
Whether that route was good or bad is up to whoever watches it, but at least he took a chance.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
He had fun with it.
I might watch
it.
The
actors had fun with it. You can tell the actors are having a good time.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like...
And, like, that was a studio film. Orion. Well, because, you know, the new Child's Play, he used footage from it.
Oh, true.
Remember?
Yeah.
Skinning.
Oh, man.
But I think that's funny. You were only expecting Leatherface, because...
Yeah, literally. I had no information.
He does get all the kills in the movie, but he's not, like... I don't know. He doesn't have the same... He doesn't demand the same screen, effect as a Michael Myers does.
I guess another thing that I really found interesting was, like, Leatherface as a character in this movie, like, yeah, he, like, obviously murders people, but there's kind of, like, a...
a childlike innocence.
Like he's really naive, so...
It's explored in some of the sequels, like, that he, again, the sequels, he can vary. Some of them, like, in the remakes, he's pure evil.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, he's got this childlike, almost like the Frankenstein monster. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, his family is the evil ones. Like, they taught him, like, hey, food, that's food. Go get your food,
mm-hmm.
you know? So he's only doing what he knows and, yeah. like...
Is there any, like, backstory to the family at all? Or is it all just, like, theories?
The only backstory you really get is...
In the sequels, or...?
Yeah, it's, like, nothing in the first film.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything comes from, you know, Leatherface has, like, a good backstory.
I mean, I guess that kind of adds to the creepiness of it, though.
I mean, I know number four tried saying the Illuminati hired the Sawyers that...
Oh, my God.
...terrify people or something. I don't know. I know the Illuminati was somehow involved in number four.
Also, another reason why it really worked for me was just, like, the location that they filmed. Like, just Texas in the summer.
It felt hot.
It definitely felt hot. And, it's just... That's what I mean by it just felt really, like, gritty and grimy. It was just, like... I don't know. It just felt really gross. But, like, in a good way, I can't really describe it, but...
But you know what I also love? What? People would talk about this film. Like, if you ask someone older than us, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I remember that movie being so gory and so... There's no gore in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like... There's barely any blood.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as gore goes, like, people talk about, like, they remember, oh, I remember Leatherface tearing someone up with a chainsaw. There was one chainsaw kill in the whole movie, and it's done in the black of night. You mm-hmm. don't see, and you see a little blood hit Leatherface.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, it's not a gory movie at all.
I think that's just a testament to how, like, effective the atmosphere is built. Because... Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's not gory, but, like, just the atmosphere makes you feel really on edge. So when some violence does happen, you don't have to see a lot to be creeped out by.
It's very real violence. Like, we're talking about how there's no music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the jump scares in this movie, you know, they don't have that music sound effect to it. Mm-hmm. So,
like,
they're very raw.
The first shot of Leatherface whenever one of the characters is... The first shot of Leatherface when one of the characters is, like, walking in the house and, like, he just pops out.
Yep.
That legitimately, like, got to me. I went, ooh. Like, it got to me for real.
There's no sound.
Like, yeah, exactly.
He just steps out, wham.
Well,
the guy stutters on the ground.
In a way, that makes it creepier, too, though, because, like, it's like he pops out and, like, it takes a minute to register that he's there.
He doesn't pop out and hit him right away. Like, mm-hmm. you get a good look at the guy.
Yeah. And then whenever the girl comes in and, like, the metal door, it's closed. You're like, oh, shit, what the fuck? Also, that whole, whenever she's, like, the scene where she's, like, walking through the house and she just sees all the skeletons and shit. And how, like, he has, like, a sofa where he just, like, pretty much, like, made it all, like, skeletal. It was so, the atmosphere in that, like, was really creepy, too. That's why I love the atmosphere in it. Especially, I don't know, just seeing, and the acting in it, I thought was really solid, too.
Yeah, like.
Maybe not Franklin, but
he was a good actor. Yeah, but he was annoying. God, yeah.
I mean, that was how the character was written.
He was supposed to be annoying.
Yeah,
but man, was he annoying.
Even then, yeah, like in the scene, especially whenever, whatever the girl's name was, Franklin's.
Oh,
the main girl. Whatever her name was.
Hold up, I'm bad with this stuff.
Fuck. Whatever, like. The scene whenever he's, like...
Sally.
Yeah, yeah. The scene where Sally's, like, telling Franklin, like, yeah, we have to go look for them or whatever. That scene is probably the most annoying, I think, Franklin was.
No. It's right after that. It's when she's making her push her through the long grass. She's like, this is impossible. Like, just push her the back. He's like, I hear something.
Oh, my God.
And then Leatherface, which that's my favorite jump scare of the movie. And, like, you know, you hear the chainsaw, mm-hmm. just wham.
In a way, I think it's good that they wrote Franklin's character so annoying, though, because that way you kind of...
When they get to the grandfather's house and just start squealing.
Yeah.
Like, why?
I don't know.
Remember that?
Yeah. But, like, that makes it less painful whenever he dies, finally, because you're just like, well... kind of, not because he's in a wheelchair.
It's not as bad as like the jock characters in like a Friday the 13th film.
Well, yeah.
You know, every slasher has like the douchebag character, and like they're always like the last to go. It's not that bad.
This one didn't really have any stereotypes, I don't think.
This was before the stereotypes. Yeah. This was before Michael. This was before Freddy. This was before Jason. You know, before this, slashers weren't really a genre. They were gore flicks, you know, that were considered B-movies.
I mean, I've seen the term exploitation film thrown around a lot.
This one was considered exploitation. And, you know, again, talking about how people talk about this film, people remember it as, you know, a torture porn. Like, people put Texas in the torture porn category.
I don't see that very much.
I think it's just a memory thing. Probably. And also, maybe they might, you know, be kind of thinking of something from a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But even the sequel, I don't know.
What's
it's just the atmosphere.
Also the violence in this, I think it's very minimalistic. That's another thing I like about the movie. It's very minimal. But I think the violence in it works pretty well because it's not really like seeing him do the acts of violence that makes it scary. It's just the idea of what he does, he doesn't prolong it. Yeah, like he's just straight to the point.
Except like, for that one, we were talking about how that the one chick who walks in there. Mm-hmm. Last we see of her, her character's name is Pam. Yeah, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Last we see her, she's alive in the freezer.
Yeah,
and you don't know what happens to her. Yeah, none of the sequels say either.
Yeah. For all we know, she could still be in there.
Who the heck knows?
Oh, fuck. The last...
And I'm gonna take this opportunity to say that Rob Zombie's House of 1,000 Corpses is 100% a remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Is it actually?
Not pretty much. Not really. It's just, it feels like it is.
Wow.
To me... Like, it follows a sick family. Like, they're not cannibals. They're Satanists.
Mm.
I don't know. It has a lot of the same beats.
Yeah.
It's a modern take on it, I'd say.
Is the Sally character in this movie one of the first, like, final girls?
I mean, like...
Or even...
It was before final girls was a term. Even, like, the Universal Monsters didn't have final girls.
That's crazy.
Like... I mean, it's weird to think, but girls were not, you know, this was before Sigourney Weaver, you know, as an alien.
Yeah.
This was...
Before Laurie Strode.
Yeah, that was in 78, this is 74.
That's crazy. It's just crazy that, like, a movie this small was, like...
Like, this was definitely one of the first, final girls, I mean... Even think back to Psycho. Psycho didn't have a final girl.
Mm-mm. Leatherface in this movie is such a threatening presence, I guess.
Yeah. I think he loses his power when he's around his family.
I think so. No, yeah.
You see, before that, you kind of, like, you see big, bad Leatherface.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of see he's a tool. He's not, he's not the brains.
It's because it felt like to me when he was around his like family members, he just felt really like unconfident.
Yeah.
Like it felt like he felt really bad anxiety whenever his family was around.
He had that makeup on and everything.
Is that I was watching Cinemassacre's video about it. And I think he mentioned that was like there's a theory that there's like a split personality thing going on there. I don't know if it's...
There's so many theories like.
It's fun to think about, but
you don't know if he's disfigured like. Some movies say he is, some movies say he's not. He does not have a solid backstory like Jason or Freddy.
Mm.
You know, it just depends on what movies you go with.
I like that, though. The mystery element really, I think, adds to it.
I mean, it's better than the time they tried saying Michael Myers was like under the influence of a cult.
Oh my God.
Was a thing. Yikes. Paul Rudd was in that movie. Curse of Michael Myers. Paul Rudd forgot about it, too.
Does he not like talking about it?
No, someone asked him to name it. He's like, oh, man, I know Halloween was in the title.
Oh, my God. I mean, at least he's honest.
Or John Cain was in, like, Jaws for the Revenge. He's like, I heard it was a terrible movie, but the house it built was pretty good. he hasn't watched it. He won't watch it.
Wow.
Which he, because, you know, like, the shark does, like, Godzilla roars.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, it gets out of the water. Yeah, it comes out of the water.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, let's get back to the Texas.
I mean,
out of the ocean, back to Texas.
Texas summer.
Leatherface versus Jaws.
Oof, that's the crossover everybody needs.
The only crossover that really exists is Leatherface versus Jason as a comic.
Hmm.
Which, yeah, so, like, Crystal Lakes, somewhere around New York, New Jersey or something.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty far from Texas. Yeah. And in the comic, Jason gets knocked out, which is funny by itself. In Crystal Lake, he winds up in a river that washes him down to Texas.
What the fuck? And then
by the end of it, he's thrown into another river that washes him back up to New Jersey or New York or wherever Crystal Lake's at.
Some things are just better left unexplained.
Well, like, fucking Jason takes Manhattan. They take a cruise ship from Cap Crystal Lake to New York to the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Oh, man.
Who writes these things?
Dude.
Do these people have careers still?
Dude, oh, man.
I wanted to touch on, in Texas Chainsaw, the dinner scene is what... Nice. The dinner scene is what got to me the most. That's when it got super disturbing.
The close up on her eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grandpa is the best to kill him.
Grandpa was fucking terrifying. What the fuck was that? Like, I thought he was dead, and then all of a sudden he's actually alive, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? He's alive, yeah. They were, like, whenever they were, the dad was like, hey, go get Grandpa, and I was like, what do you mean?
That's not the dad. I think he's the older brother.
Is it? I guess I didn't really say
it's explicitly. Again, their family positions are so, it's up for debate.
I mean, at least we do know that the hitchhiker was his brother, right, though?
I
think he says.
I
think he mentions brother at least once. I assume that the other guy was a dad, though.
I mean, the people stopping at the Sawyer house probably don't give a shit. They're like, get me the hell out of here.
Probably. But, like, that's...
For a movie called Texas Chainsaw Massacre, only having one chainsaw kill is kind of funny to me.
I mean, it's not really I wouldn't say it's a whole massacre either, well, though.
I mean, there's other bodies there. So, like, I'd say overall, they probably achieved the rate of a massacre.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a cool title to me, and I'm just like, I don't need it to be 100% true.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, I don't know, I need to watch documentaries, but I feel like they wrote the title, title credits, whatever, the text.
Yeah.
And, like, at the end, you know, when it says Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I bet they, like, were typing that, like, hey, that's a good title, let's use that.
Probably.
Because, like, then, like, after that, it talks, you know, goes to the radio station, and then we get the title card, which, you know, I would have, like, nowadays, if you saw that, they would have stopped where, you know, the opening credits said Texas Chainsaw Massacre, just zoomed in on that.
Yeah, true.
Or highlighted it. Underlined. I don't know what filmmakers do.
Underline.
Microsoft Word. Italicize. All of a sudden, it just leans over.
Oh my god. Italicized. I don't think they had that in the 70s. This was 1974. They had Microsoft Word, a very early version of it. So was the grandpa in the movie just like was the idea that he was just that old or what?
Yeah.
Because he looked like a fucking corpse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was scary.
That old.
Jesus. And then whenever they're trying to make Grandpa kill Sally.
Yep. Because Grandpa's the best at killing.
That was so creepy. Yeah. It was so, like, off-putting.
They were having fun with it. And, like, you see that look in her eyes. And she's losing her.
That actress was amazing.
Yeah.
She sold that, dude.
I hear it was a stressful shoot, so she's
I can imagine, dude. Especially for her.
Yeah.
Like, she goes through so much in the last, like, half hour, I guess I would say. I don't know.
Putting it with Franklin, I'd say the whole 2 hours.
I guess. Yeah, good point.
She puts up with so much in the 2 hours. But then when the cannibals show up, you know, it's even worse.
Franklin was already enough. Fucking Franklin. Oh, man.
We've had to look up the other characters' names, but we know Franklin.
You can't deny it. He's the one who sticks with you the most.
Well, I think Sally.
Yeah, Sally too. But like, him, her, and Franklin are like.
Hey, it's Franklin.
Oh my God. Shit. The last chase scene was amazing.
It really is.
It's so simple. Like, it's so simple.
It's not dramatic. Yeah. It feels raw. It feels like she's running away from a motherfucker with a chainsaw.
Exactly. That's...
She doesn't trip over anything. Like that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
She actually gets help twice.
It's just terrifying. Like, her shrieks are bone-chilling. Because they seem so real.
The shrieks of laughter in a way. There's a cat. I heard a cat. Your people on the podcast are like, what the hell? There's a cat. But like, I still love the truck driver, that the first one who pulls over first, he gets out, and like, he just runs away. Like,
dude, that truck driver just fucking disappears.
Yeah, you know, at $5, he's still running. Like Forrest Gump, you know how Forrest Gump ran for 5 years?
Yeah.
This guy's been running since 1974.
Oh my God. That last shot of Sally, though, in the truck bed, just laughing. I had no words. I was just like, wow. It was just how, the fact that the story itself and the way it was executed was so simple. It's just like, you don't need to be so flashy for me to enjoy this.
And see, I think that's what probably got you, is it didn't have any of the flashy gimmicks. It was just a movie.
And about
people eating people.
And I'm one that just, I love when films have like just realism ingrained into them. So that's why I was genuinely shocked with this one, because like usually horror movies don't really go this real, and like this was like. Cinemassacre in his video said, like, the scary thing about the movie isn't, like...
It's the thought that this could happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like that, the movie, I forget what it's called, the one where the rednecks rape the white people.
There's so many of those.
Either way, I'm scared to go into the mountains.
I'm scared to go to Texas.
You come the wrong way, boy. All right, yes, sir. I'm going right back.
Oh God.
You know, like nowadays, you know, it's so cliche. Oh, my car broke down. Let's go to this house.
Yeah.
Oh, you're cannibals. All right.
So does Leatherface, like, I guess, what are they don't ever really go into his motivations, do they? Is it just...
Food.
Okay.
Food and fun. I would say so much fun for him, but for his family.
Yeah. Again, it's so simple, but it's so effective.
I mean, I think it's a lot more fun when there's no motive. Like, I love that, like, you know, my personal favorite's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Michael Myers. You know, he has no motive. And, you know, unless you go buy a sequel, but don't. Or, you know, usually revenge is always the motive. Freddy, Jason, those guys are out for revenge.
It's like having no motive, too. I think that's a better example of just, like, people that are truly psychotic, I guess. I'm no therapist, so I don't fucking know. But I don't know. Just the fact that they just, on an impulse, just want to do it is... It's more scary to me than...
The violence in this kind of reminds me of the violence in Joker. Like the Joker's gun violence, but it's just that raw, quick, sudden... I mean, I forget who said it, but someone said, and it's a quote from somewhere, that the problem with killing nowadays is we've made it too easy.
Damn.
I honestly mean, like...
They're not wrong. That's kind of sad to think about, but I mean...
I mean, unless if you're trying to chase down Usain Bolt, you know?
That dude is like the real life Flash.
Where the hell? Oh, man. So you want to go to Texas?
No. I have cousins
the,
in Texas.
The house, I guess, is a bed and breakfast now.
Really?
And it has AC now. Or maybe it's just a diner. Dude, I don't know, something. It's open for public.
Personally, I would not go.
Well, it looks nice. Like, I it's mean, a nice little, like, it doesn't, there's no animal bones over it.
Still, though, it's just, like, the imagery in the movie, like, and walking in there,
you
I walk don't know.
In there, you see the red closet with all the skulls. You're just like, oh.
Did they keep that?
Hey, welcome to the bed and breakfast. You'll be staying in the red room. Oh, shit, where'd they go?
That's how they greet you. They just, like, pop out of the doorway. Yeah, they're like, hey, welcome.
They're like, hey.
Yeah. How can we help you today? How many nights will you be staying?
Oh, hello there.
Is it really a bed and breakfast or something like that?
It's like a diner or something.
What the fuck? I can't even imagine.
It's open. It's a place for people to go.
Wow. Why wouldn't they keep it, like, as a historic movie site?
You know,
I mean, I guess
keeping shit like that is really a new fad. Like, you know, like, for example, like, when they made Nightmare on Elm Street, they did not keep Freddy Krueger's makeup. You know, they didn't keep the molds or anything. They weren't planning on sequels, or if they were going to do one, you know, they'd start again. So that's why it looks different, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't...
I think the fact that this movie, Texas Chainsaw, was made in 1974, I think, just older, like, technology, like, or not, I guess not technology, but, like, makeup and stuff like that, or, like, prosthetics. The fact, you could, I feel like it's easy to pass it off as, like, it looks bad, but to me, it looks so
real.
Real because of that.
I don't think it looks bad.
I don't think so.
I like it.
It's creepy, so, I mean.
It's definitely not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, everyone's, can you know, be a dumbass at times.
I mean, most people nowadays are really accustomed to, like, your generic
slasher, which, yeah. That's what, you know, Texas has kind of evolved into.
Yeah, but...
Which, you know...
I mean, I guess you could look at it that way, but... To me, just coming at it from just, like, an outsider perspective... It's just... I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. For those of you listening, he just pulled out a Leatherface action figure, but like it's a
He-Man Leatherface.
Go ahead and Google that so you guys can see having the pleasure of looking at.
Just,
right now.
Yeah, just Google slasher He-Man figures and like it's just buffed out versions of your favorite killers.
Oh man.
Man, Leatherface is kind of thick.
Yeah, I mean, he could get it. Is there anything else about the movie that we can touch on?
Oh, about the movie?
Yeah. What's that?
It's a comic book.
Well, I mean, they don't know that.
Oh, I'm showing him a Texas Chainsaw comic book. So yeah, it started out as an independent movie. Here we are looking at He-Man Leatherface and a comic book.
Became like a fucking franchise. Is there any plans to? Are there any plans for any other movies in that world?
Probably somewhere up.
I would love for them to just do like a sequel, but just like the same, in the same vein as the original. Not like
I think Texas 3D did justice. It wasn't the greatest, but.
But that was a studio movie though, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't like most. Slashers, it didn't feel like a slasher.
I need to rewatch that.
It was a pretty good. I'm just looking for death scenes.
Flipping through a comic book.
Yeah, I'm just looking for dead people to show him. There's nudity in these comic books too. I shit you not. The Nightmare.
The 70s were obsessed with, like, ass shots.
That was the... That ass shot is famous. Where she's walking to the house, mm-hmm. and she hated it at the time, but, like, she's, like, now old, and she's like, man, I'm glad I had it. That's how you do
it. If you have it flaunted, dude, yeah. I sure as hell didn't mind that shot. Like,
pause the movie, like, hey,
yeah, right, you
before
know.
You get slaughtered.
That's why I got 5 stars. Oh, man. Oh, I just think it's a really good fucking movie.
Any other thoughts about it? Questions? I feel like we've talked about the sequels more than the movie.
I mean, it's just, it's a great movie, but the fact that it's so simplistic, it's like, there's not too much to talk about.
Now, but I don't know if it's true, but my grandma, she used to live in Texas, and she said this movie actually had an effect on the tourist attractions in Texas.
Oh, boy.
Like,
did nobody show up, or what?
Well, like, this movie came out, and, like, when people, like, when it became famous, like, because it wasn't famous right away, but mm-hmm. whenever it did get famous, yeah, people were hesitant to go to Texas.
God, I have cousins that live in Texas, but...
Are they cannibals?
Not that I know of. I wonder if they've seen this movie. Next time I go, I'm going to show them the movie.
Are they the same cousins you showed House to?
No, separate.
House.
I can't believe that I showed them House.
Jeez.
I need to do a podcast episode with one of them about House. God, that movie's fucking weird.
Alright, so are we going to talk about Brightburn now?
No, God. Yeah, 1 minute podcast episode.
Yeah, it should have been a Netflix original.
It really
I want my movie ticket back.
It really should have.
While we're at it, I also want my movie ticket back for Scary Stories.
Did you actually go and watch that?
Yeah, I did. I was bored. I should have listened to you. You told me it wasn't worth it. I was like, it might be.
Well, I mean, with Guillermo del Toro producing and...
I wish he directed.
Yeah. I mean... I remember people were like, oh, the creatures designs are awesome. And I was like, some of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them. And also, a lot of them were CG.
You can't run a movie on creature design.
Yeah. Because, like, the creature stuff was cool. But then, like, the story was meh.
I'm just waiting for the live action Shrek.
Oh my. You watch the musical.
Oh God. I forgot.
The musical looks so bad. I think in drama class, we watched clips of it in high school, it was traumatizing, truly.
You want to know what's a musical that exists?
What?
Evil Dead.
Are you serious?
Evil Dead has a musical. I almost saw it too in Tulsa, but I was like, no, it's gonna ruin the movie.
God, I hate when fucking people are like, oh, that movie's good, we should make a musical. It's like, it doesn't work. I can't. Some people claim it does, but I'm just like, I doubt it. I can't handle that. But then again, I'm not too huge into musicals, so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else I can bring up.
Well, you didn't realize the vegan thing.
True. I didn't. Those fucking shots of the cows at the beginning for some reason really creeped me out.
That's probably why. Like, subconsciously, you probably. Okay, well, so here's the thing. When she goes to the, what's his name, at the gas station, did you know he was part of the family? Did you expect it? Or were you surprised that he fucked her over?
Like, whenever she's, like, runs into that place?
Yeah.
It was weird because, like, at first I'm like, is this guy actually... I was on the fence. Because I'm like, I couldn't tell. Like, is this guy actually good? Or is he gonna... He was just... This motherfucker bought Hereditary for $5 on Blu-ray.
Dude, I'm so good at getting deals. Your audience is like, why did he suddenly say that? He was in the middle of a sentence. And then he just talked about this guy's Blu-ray buying this.
Anyway, what was I talking about?
We're talking about how she runs...
Oh, okay, yeah. That guy. Pretty long story short, I was on the fence with that guy. I didn't know, I couldn't tell if he was actually going to help or not. But then it happened and I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I think that was the point in the movie where I literally was like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? And then
you don't know if she's going to make it out either.
I didn't. I mean, I had seen like the screenshot of her in the truck bed, but I didn't know what point in the movie that was.
That's the opening to Texas 3D.
Is it?
Her? Yeah, they use that as the opening.
Like the scenes?
They take the scene directly. And then like she rides into town and then the cops show up. And then an angry mob shows up and killed everyone, except for Leatherface.
But did they reshoot it?
No. Like they used her directly. Okay. And then like they reshot like the other actors for like afterwards.
Huh. Interesting. I need to rewatch that one.
See, you need to start listening to me when I say watch this. Like, fuck it, I bought you fucking American Werewolf in London.
I'll get to it, I swear.
You need to watch
it. I almost watched it that same night, but I was really tired.
Oh, what? Shit. You need to watch
it. It was like 10 p.m.
You need to watch Reanimator.
Is that... I hear that one's like crazy.
It's so crazy. It's insane.
My friend Jason at work was telling me to watch the Batman movie with Adam West, because it's super campy.
Yeah, where he's running around with a bomb.
Yeah, that's a clip he showed me today at work.
Did he show you the shark spray?
No, he did mention it, but...
Yeah, he's got freaking mace. Yeah, Batman walks around with mace for a damn shark.
It seemed like I would enjoy it, though, because it looked really campy. Grant is looking through... Oh, you have the fucking Weird Science Arrow release?
Yeah, I almost bought the Steelbook, but I honestly like that look better.
This is so dope.
The Steelbook looked nice and everything.
Sorry, podcast listeners, we're trailing off a little bit, but I am amazed by this Weird Science Arrow Blu-ray release.
Arrow and Scream Factory just released the nicest Blu-rays.
I love that they give you options.
We should have a podcast just talking about our favorite, like, fucking covers for Arrow and Scream. Like, just any Blu-rays. Steelbooks, everything.
We should start that as a side project.
Hold on. We should, man.
Hold on.
You got it?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't break the Arrow ones because I can't buy the clear ones.
I love that this is like matte.
What are your hands wet?
No, I kind of spit on it.
You spit on my fucking Arrow release of Weird Science?
It's okay, it'll be fine. Anyway, what?
Yeah, we should do that. Talk about like good Blu-ray releases.
That'd be fun.
I mean,
I see your Dazed and Confused one, and that's one of my favorite ones that I own.
This is probably my favorite Criterion.
Yeah.
Right, Criterion.
It just looks cool.
Yeah, Criterion.
You got it right this time.
Yeah. I'm making sure. I didn't want to sound like a dumbass.
Speaking of Criterion, how the fuck is Texas Chainsaw Massacre not on Criterion?
Honestly. Like, Night of the Living Dead is, mm-hmm. which is good. Cat People, you need to watch. That has the first jump scare ever. You know. But, like, fucking Armageddon, like, why is that on?
I don't know. A lot of other choices are really obscure, like, why?
Yeah, but like everyone's seen Armageddon, and it's just Michael Bay.
I can't believe Michael Bay
has two movies. I forget what the other one. He's got. I remember seeing he had another movie. Probably, fucking Transformers: Age of Extinction.
Don't even get me started on that fucking movie. When I left the theater for that, I felt... That's the first time I've ever left the theater and wanted my money back.
Yeah, so...
So Texas Chainsaw.
So everyone, yeah. Mario, you haven't bought this movie yet. You think about what format to buy it on?
Yeah, probably the special edition you have.
The one I have?
Yeah.
I mean, Best Buy does have that pretty nice steelbook, but yeah. I have the 4-disc 40th anniversary. A little bit more pricey, but you get a shit ton of special features.
I mean...
Which, listening to us talk, you know we didn't watch any of the special features yet.
Yeah. Eventually.
Like, we'll watch them, and we'll be like, oh, damn, we were wrong about this and
maybe,
that.
Maybe we'll do a part two.
Yeah, part two. Correcting ourselves.
Oh, shit. I'm definitely going to buy it, though, for soon.
You know, before we know the commentaries, talk about how Leatherface is an atheist or some shit.
They probably go so deep into it that it's like completely off base.
It's probably a commentary just talking about The vegans. The vegans.
Yeah, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and its ties to veganism. Yeah. I think that's it.
That's it?
I think
so. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
No problem.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of worried because the last talk show I was on, they brought me on to just make fun of me. Okay. Yeah, by the way, for Halloween, I dressed up like the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix. So...
Anyway.
The one with the cleft palate.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's like by some miracle, Joaquin Phoenix watches this. He's like, that motherfucker popped
on my cleft palate. He's going to come to your front door and beat you up.
Dude, I'd let him.
Oh, my God.
It's like better than an autograph.
That's kinky.
Oh.
Joaquin Phoenix is beating you up is your kink? Wow. Absolutely. What an exclusive. What a scoop.
Oh, man, this is going to be on BuzzFeed.
Well, I mean, I guess any final thoughts on it?
Final thoughts? Well, you liked it a lot more than I did. I think it's very impactful, you know, on the series of, you know, just on movies and horror in general.
Yeah, it's honest.
I told you that the two horror films that film nerds always watch in my film class is Psycho and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw, though, honestly, those...
It's a very important film.
Yeah. And they're both of, I mean, I guess more so Texas Chainsaw, but like, Texas Chainsaw is so minimal that it feels like, not to insult Tobe Hooper or anything, but like, it feels like Tobe Hooper, not to insult him or anything, but like, it feels like you could just go out and make that. It, like,
which it's not. Which is what adds it the charm, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, when the internet first opened up, that's when people, like, made, like, these websites and, like, videos on, like, found footage and evidence of Leatherface. Mm-hmm. And like, that's where people started really believing Leatherface was a real motherfucker.
Oh my God.
Like, I remember, like, early YouTube was just covered in, like, Leatherface, like propaganda basically saying Leatherface, like, is real. Here's evidence.
Wow.
It's like, oh my God. I met, like, my mom. I met from my mom. My mom thought Leatherface was real. Like, I'm like,
God.
Shit. All right, so is that it?
Yeah, I guess so. Well,
just remember, that's life.
Okay, guys, if you liked listening to this podcast, make sure to follow it on Spotify. We're also on Apple Podcast if anybody uses that, which I don't know. I use Spotify more, so follow the podcast on Instagram at Cinespeak Pod. Follow me on Instagram at MarioMunoz.98.
Dude, I have social media. Hey, everyone.
Plug it.
I'm about to plug myself. Follow me on Snapchat. I got to look at my username real quickly.
It's like Mr. Chow something, isn't it?
Something dumb. I don't know. Where do you find your...
You have to go to your thing, and then you got to go
okay,
there.
It's all in lowercase. It's M-R...
Why are you getting so close to the mic?
So they don't misunderstand me. It's okay. MR.GRANTCHOW. It's Mr. Grant Chow, and you'll just get a bunch of dumb shit. That's the only social media I'm plugging. Follow me on what's the one? The cameras?
Letterboxd, yeah.
Oh, hey, we're on Letterboxd.
We're on Letterboxd, I forgot.
Dude, hey, we're about to plug Letterboxd.
My Letterboxd is Mario Munoz.
I just accidentally pulled up Spotify, so I don't remember
this. Make sure to follow the podcast on Spotify.
Mine is Chef Gramsci, so that's a C-H-E-F...
Oh, my God.
G-R... A-
we don't have much time
M-S-E-Y.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if I tell them what was in lowercase and uppercase.
Fuck, no, it's what? No. We only have like 6 minutes left.
But what are we going to do for 6 minutes?
No, I'm going to end it.
So, all right.
Follow us on Letterboxd because it's my favorite social media app,
to be honest. Don't go to Texas.
Yeah.
Fucking Texas.
Sorry, Texas.
That's where Sandy's from.
Texas. Okay, that's it. See ya.